Hallelujah. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. Would you grab your swords for a moment, please? Might be a few moments. And turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. We're going to take an offering after. Hallelujah. So everybody there, let's speak it together in verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who are able to teach others also. This is something where we're going to pass truth on. You therefore must what? Endure. Everyone say endure. Hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 4. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this world, of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned in lust. He competes according to the what? Rules. In other words, there's a special engagement of warfare that God requires from me and you. But understand, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we're not to entangle ourselves with the lusts of this world. Amen? With the affairs of this world. In verse 6, he says, the hardworking farmer must be first a partaker of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you what? Understanding in all things. And I'm telling you, this is essential. Understanding in all things. What he's talking about is, look, there's a warfare going on. And we must have understanding about this warfare. It is a spiritual warfare. And it's not getting better, it's getting worse. There's more areas of deception. There's more areas of things that are happening in this world that we're seeing, and even in the body of Christ. And go to Luke 21. So we must have an understanding about this spiritual war. It must not be a one-time event. It must be always with you. You must always be sensitive that, you know what, there's a war going on. There's a war going on. Because if you're not sensitive to that, you'll never see through the natural. You'll always be caught up in the natural. There's a war going on. You know, when you're frustrated, when all kinds of things are happening, you can't look at the things in the natural to say, well, those are the things that are causing that. No, the things that are causing it are the unseen. Amen. In Luke 21, in verse 10... Everybody there? Let's speak this together, please. Luke 21 and verse 10. Then Jesus said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes in various places, famines and pestilences. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from the heavens. But before all these things, they will lay your hands, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience, possess your souls. In other words, by your endurance. This is a time of enduring. We've got to endure these things. And are we seeing these things happen right now? Yes. Globally. We're in it. It's happening. It's not escalated yet, but it's beginning to. Amen. Remember, we've got political parties, one that denounces God and one that approves God. That's never happened before. We've got all kinds of things that are happening right now. And a tremendous, are there earthquakes? More than we've ever had. Are there famines? Crops are being destroyed. Things are being held back. Why? Because God's judgments. These are associated with God's judgments. Because before his wrath come his judgments. These are the areas that hopefully will awaken people to come to the truth. Realizing that their abilities, their talents, their finances, and their government is not going to be able to help them. There's only one that's going to help them, and that's the Creator. But there's something vitally important I want to talk about in this, because it says that there will be pestilence. Pestilence is associated with chemical warfare. Everyone say chemical warfare. Pestilence is associated with chemical warfare. What it does is it reaches the unreachable. You know, there's two tremendous destructions in the world. We have nuclear bombs and chemical warfare. In the physical, those are the two that are feared the most. Nuclear bombs and chemical warfare. And what this does is this chemical warfare brings destruction. It reaches places. You can hide as much as you want, but that chemical warfare will spread. And it will affect individuals. The reason why this is coming up is because I had a vision the other day as I was, I don't know if I was driving or whatever. And I began to see people with masks on, gas masks. And I said, Lord, what's that? He said, those are my soldiers. Those are my soldiers that are wearing the gas masks. And I began to see things. I began to see kind of like smoke around and so forth. He says, they're not affected by the spiritual chemical warfare. But I have many that are affected by the spiritual chemical warfare. And in this, he said, some had them on and some took them off because of pride. They took them off because of pride. They thought they were okay. And some were just carrying them, not even knowing it was available to protect them. And in this chemical warfare, it was a toxic deception to individuals. And it was amazing to me. And I said, well, what does the mask represent? He says, it represents my armor. He said, in other words, people are not putting on they don't put on their armor. And they are breathing in this chemical warfare, and it's causing toxic deception. I thought, wow, he said, some carry it. Some took it off because of pride. They no longer put it on. They think they're okay. And the moment they've taken it off, they've been brought in deception. I thought, wow. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Spiritual chemical warfare. You know, we not only see it in the physical, but we are now seeing it more in the spiritual. In Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 10, I'm sorry. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Let's speak it together. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. How many of y'all need to be strong in the Lord? How many of y'all need to walk in his power? That's the only way you're going to overcome. He says, here's what you do. Do what? Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That wiles means deception. Deception. People are being taken out because of the weapon of deception. They are breathing in this intoxicated deception, this gas that is deception. And if the enemy can convince you not to put on your full armor, you have taken off the mask and you are deceived. You have not put on the armor. And it will keep you in a state of deception. It will keep you in a state of delusion. You may think you're doing the right thing, but you're really not. It may feel good, but those are individuals that rely on feelings instead of truth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, would you go with me? Remember, we are soldiers. We are in a war. Would you go out to battle without a gun? A police officer doesn't even go out with wearing a vest of bulletproof. And we being even a more serious battle, more serious, should not go out without being dressed with the full armor of God. Well, people will go, the Lord knows my heart. See, you've already sniffed in that intoxicating deception. That is the excuse for reasoning and justification. That is the place that puts an individual in compromise and complacency because they have been intoxicated with deception. Well, God knows my heart. Yes, he does. The thing is you're not able to receive because of the deception. Is everybody okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 3, let's speak it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. I'll get there. Okay. For though we walk in the flesh or in the natural, we don't war according to the natural. You know, so many times it still blows my mind where people are still blaming people. They're still looking at people. Why? There's still offense. What offense is one of the greatest deceptions that there can be. Offense. People get offended so easily. Well, if you're a person that's offended so easily, it means you're still too alive. Because you ever see a dead person get offended? Well, we're supposed to be dead to self. Amen. Hallelujah. In verse 4, for the weapons of our what? Warfare are not natural, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. These strongholds are memory lies. These are things that have been implemented, deceived, labels put on our life. All of these areas of this intoxicating deception and gas that brings a person into a bondage. So where's the battle at? In the mind, in the thoughts. For the weapons of our warfare are not natural or carnal, but mighty in God for pulling these things down. In other words, if you don't know it's there, is it going to constantly deceive you? Yes. See, many individuals don't even realize it's there. They just think it's them. Well, I was born this way. No, you weren't. Verse 5. Casting down what? Arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Again, these weapons are against the impressions of thoughts and mindsets and strongholds that promote deception and increase bondage. I'm telling you right now, there is such a chemical warfare. You know, it's weapons of mass destruction. Amen? They alter the mind, they alter vision, and they alter perception. Look at what's going on in the world right now. Look at the chemical warfare that's happening right now. How about drugs? Isn't that chemical? How about alcohol? How about cigarettes? Smoking and a toxin. Think about, look at prescription drugs that have brought people in such bondage. This is chemical warfare. And people are not even, believers are not even realizing and are partaking of it. This is chemical warfare. Yes, there's a physical area, but there's also a spiritual area of chemical warfare. In Ephesians chapter 2, in Ephesians 2 verse 1, And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, and once you walked what? According to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of what? There is. Prince of power of air, the author of chemical warfare. Has everybody got it? Spiritual warfare. The chemical, it is spiritual warfare that they use. The prince of power of air. The spirit who now what? Works in the sons of what? What's it promote? Disobedience. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others, until Christ came. And he brought us his spirit, he brought us the anointing, and he brought us the armor, so that you and I could be dressed, so that you and I could battle. The prince of power of error, using chemical warfare to bring mass destruction by mass deception. And many individuals are taking part of it. It is the weapon of deception that is used to control, to bring into slavery or bondage. It's used to destroy mankind. I want you to grab hold of this. It's been inherited. It's being taught. It's being taught. It's promoted. It's worshipped. We live in it. It's all around us. It's been protected. It's traditionalized. Look at all of the deception. It's been idolized. People die for it. They die for deception. They live in deception. They worship deception. They teach deception. They promote it. They protect it. It's in religion. It's in education. It's in the medical field. It's in the government. And it's in culture. It's even called holy. People celebrate it on Halloween. It's in many pagan feasts. It's phenomenal. Of the area of this weapon and this toxic gas that is infiltrated. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 7, would you speak it with me, please? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way, he being the body of Christ. The armored body of Christ. Has everybody got it? The armored body of Christ. Verse 8, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Verse 9, let's speak it. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception. Unrighteous what? Deception. Among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be what? Because they didn't receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Amen? In verse 11, let's speak it together. And for this reason, God will send them what? Strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the attaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by our epistle. And now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Again, many have been taken. They've been taken by this toxic gas. They have been convinced to take off their mask by pride and have become intoxicated with the deception of the world, which is known as the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. It's all about me. Amen? Let's go to 1 John chapter 2 while we're here so we can confirm this. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Is everybody there? 1 John 2:15. It says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour, and you've heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, and that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." Again, it's important to maintain the anointing, which is the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. The world is a toxic deception. It's in toxic deception. It's ruled by toxic deception. It's ruled by and utilized by chemical warfare. Amen? Abiding in the anointing is the key that allows me and you to continue, because we're reminded. The Holy Spirit will bring things to remembrance. He'll tell you, get dressed. He'll tell you. See, if you're not abiding in the anointing, you won't hear. You will miss conviction. You will miss correction. You'll think you know it all. And you'll be carrying that mask and be under chemical warfare, controlled by chemical warfare, slowly perishing or decaying. And Colossians chapter 2. Again, that mask represents what? Anybody remember? The full armor of God. Colossians chapter 2. You know, I'm going to take a survey one day and walk around all the people in the body of Christ, as many as I can find. Did you put on the full armor today? Oh, no, I just prayed. Oh, what did you pray? Oh, Lord, bless me with a Mercedes. Oh, Lord, you know my needs. Do them abundantly. Remember, this is a war going on, and we are soldiers of the body. Believe me, the powers of darkness are dressed. They are dressed with deception. They are dressed with lies and deceits. They are dressed with hatred and murder and killing and death. They are dressed with sickness. They are dressed. And if you're not dressed, you'll be contaminated by them. In Colossians chapter 2, and verse 18, let's speak it, please. Let no one cheat you of your reward. Take in delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to the regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Oh, hallelujah. Self-imposed religion is controlled by chemical warfare taken under deception. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, would you speak it with me, please? Philippians 2, verse 12. For some of you who are wondering what is the full armor of God, it's in Ephesians chapter 6. It tells you about the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, helmet of salvation, shoes of the gospel of peace, sword of the Spirit, and the shield of faith. It tells you to be dressed with the full armor. In verse 12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. In other words, in this, because we want to be blameless, blemish-free, not being intoxicated by the chemical warfare that is establishing all around us. Why? Because we want to do the will of Christ. Everyone will stand before God. Nobody escapes. Nobody escapes. And I believe one of the questions he's going to ask us is, what did you do with what I gave you? What have you done? In Ezekiel chapter 5, but he has a book of remembrance, so he knows. Ezekiel chapter 5 and verse 11. Ezekiel 5 verse 11. Let's speak it together, please. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord God, surely because you have defiled my sanctuary with your detestable things and with all of your abominations, therefore I will also diminish you. My eye will not spare, nor will I have any pity. One-third of you shall die of the... Why? Because it's already here. See, the Lord is our protector, isn't he? But he's requiring me and you. Cooperation with the Lord is essential. So he uses pestilence. In other words, this pestilence is that chemical warfare. God uses it himself. He uses enemies. He uses Satan. The wrath of God during the time of tribulation will be brought by the enemy. Amen? He's going to allow the enemy, because the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy me and you. What he'll do is he'll just lift his protection, just like he did with Job. and hope that people will awaken, come to repentance, and turn from their ways. He said, one third of you shall die of the pestilence and be consumed with famine in your midst, and one third shall fall by the sword all around you, and I will scatter another third to all the winds, and I will draw out a sword after them. Thus shall my anger be spent, and I will cause my fury to rest upon them, and I will be avenged. And they shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it in my zeal when I have spent my fury upon them. In Psalm 91, would you go there with me, please? Psalm 91 and verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the what? Pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. In other words, hiding, being abided. So it's important that we abide in the anointing. Amen? Abiding in the anointing. And by abiding in the anointing, you will become obedient. You'll become obedient by abiding in the anointing. It's impossible to be obedient not abiding in the anointing. As you abide in the anointing, you'll become obedient to put on the full armor of God. If you're not obedient to put on the full armor of God, it's because you're not abiding in the anointing. And pride is infiltrated. It's caused you to take off the mask or the armor. And now you are intoxicated with deception. In Psalm 15, are you all right? Now you're getting this. We're seeing it all over. You know, you can see people have been intoxicated by this chemical warfare on their faces. You can see it. You can see the deception. See, the Spirit sees right through us. And if you're walking in the anointing, you see whatever the Spirit allows you to see. It's amazing. In Psalm 15, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? In other words, that secret place, which we just talked about it, where we're protected. He who may dwell in your holy hill. It says, he who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He does not backbite with his tongue, nor does he does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. In whose eyes a vile person is despised. But he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. In other words, he doesn't care what anyone says. He's not going to change. He's not going to be moved. Even though the enemy tries to lure him out of the secret place with pleasures of the world. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Go to Psalm 16 and verse 7. Let's speak it. I will bless the Lord who has given me what? Counsel. Counsel. We get counsel under the anointing. That's one of the seven attributes of the character of the Holy Spirit. Spirit of counsel. God has offices in the body of Christ for counsel. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord what? Always before me. I'm telling you, when you're walking in the anointing, the Lord is always before you. Always. He's talking to you face to face. He's always right there. Right there. He'll remind you, put on your armor. You know, you need to let go of that. You need to forgive that person. You need to bless that person. I want you to speak this psalm today. He'll give you something. See, you should always, just think about it. If Jesus Christ was in the physical and he walked with you wherever you walked, if he slept in the same room with you, you think people would act different? Well, he is. See, but this intoxicating chemical warfare keeps an individual in a state of not being able to see that, sense that, or believe that. David said, I always keep you before me. So no matter what you're doing, even when you're by yourself and you stub your toe and you say something you shouldn't, well, nobody sees. Well, how dumb can you be? There's somebody there with you. His name is Jesus. The Holy Spirit is right there. See, because they're not abiding in the anointing and they're not staying dressed. Oh, I only have a couple glasses of booze on weekends. You're deceived. Because it's intoxicating. It's an accursed item. But it comes in a pretty bottle. You can even buy it instant now. Just a little, add some water into the powder. Hallelujah. It's a Shirley Temple filled with stupidity. And verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be what? I won't be moved, I won't be deceived, and I'm not drinking that intoxicating chemical warfare. I'm not breathing it in. I'm going to stay abiding in the anointing and dress with the full armor. Because I'm a soldier in the body of Christ. And it's no longer I that live, but him that lives. And my purpose is to fulfill his will. I am called to battle. My purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. And my destiny is to infiltrate the world system with abilities and talents God's given me. And it's the same for you. Verse 9. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also rests in hope. For you will not leave my soul in hell, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Oh, hallelujah. See, you will not be a miserable Christian. No matter what you're going through. Hallelujah, you'll count it all joy. You won't be moved. Yeah, I know. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's just the way it is. Welcome to the earth. I can't believe, you know, you're going to be betrayed. You're going to be persecuted sometimes by your closest family members. But it doesn't matter. You must maintain your call, your purpose, and your destiny. No matter what. Psalm 81. And keep the armor on, will you? Psalm 81, verse 11. Says, but my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart, to walk in their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me and that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord will pretend submission to him, but their fate will endure forever. See, one of the things the enemy does is this intoxicating chemical warfare begins to put you in a place where you don't trust God and God don't trust you. Because you're still taking your own counsel and not submitting to the counsel of the Lord. In verse 16, it says that he would have fed them also with the finest of wheat. That's revelation from the throne room of God. And with the honey from the rock, I would have satisfied you. That's the anointing. See, there's so much that God has for us. So much. But we've got to be willing to abide in the anointing so that we can walk in obedience. Without abiding in the anointing, you cannot obey. You just can't. And the anointing is the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. That's why we worship. That's why we gather together. That's why we fellowship. In Proverbs 12, Proverbs 12, we don't need any self-imposed religion, do we? Amen. Self-imposed religion is a belief system influenced by chemical warfare. It's a belief system that is flawed, and it has a flawed perception. In verse 15, Proverbs 12, verse 15, would you read it with me? The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24 and verse 5. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war. And in a multitude of counselors there is safety. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 1. Jesus uses this as a prime example of individuals that did not abide in the anointing. It says in verse 1, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Virgins are individuals who have been washed by the blood. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. In other words, they weren't abiding then. They couldn't last. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. But the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your own oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered and said, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Open to us. But he answered and he said, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. And I want to close with 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's not always how you start, it's always how you end, isn't it? Because of the Lord's mercy and grace, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. Let's speak it together. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who call out on the Lord with a what? Pure heart. In other words, be careful who you associate with. Your associations will bring impartations. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. In other words, quit justifying, quit reasoning, quit compromising. Take the conviction, take the correction, and turn. Get the armor back on and get the intoxicating garbage out of the house and out of you. Hallelujah. In verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Because they've been taken in chemical warfare. Amen. Spiritual chemical warfare is a reality. The dependence on medication and the dependence on deception is phenomenal. Phenomenal. Spiritual chemical warfare. Maintain the anointing. Abide in the anointing and stay dressed with the full armor. Amen. Praise God. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let this seed be imparted to grow and bear fruit for your glory. And forgive us for any area that we have been taken captive. We ask for your strength and for your power to say yes to you and abide in your anointing. Lord, I pray today that everyone in this room and anyone that's heard this through the teachings or the web, would submit to your authority so that they may resist the devil and the temptations to do his will, so that they turn and do your will. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.